was a kid, I used to dream what it would be like to live somewhere far away from Hell's Kitchen. But I realized the city was a part of me. It was in my blood. And I would do anything to make it a better place.
Good and evil. Sometimes the difference between the two is a sharp line. Sometimes it's a blur. Sometimes we have to do things outside of the law.
We're gonna make a difference. I know it doesn't feel like it sometimes, but we are.
You're blind, but you see so much.
I hear things.
You know what they call stuff like that? Gifts. I'm gonna trade you. Use it.
There are other ways to see.
Cody! Captain America, Iron Man, and all the colorful creators of Marvel.
This universe has gone back. It is not right. I was supposed to be more than that. Is that Marvel?
Yeah.
This is my spotlight.
When I heard the word darkness, I was thinking of Batman, and I watched this show and come to find out it's not Batman at all.
People, we talking about that Daredevil, that's why.
Yes.
Motherfucking, welcome to the recap. We are the recap crew. This is the Daredevil recap, and I'm the phenomenal one, of course.
I am Cody.
And, man, we here to talk about episode 3 and 4. Episode 3 will be Rabbit in the Snowstorm, and Cody, episode 4 will be In the Blood. And this whole series should be called In the Blood.
Seriously, this shit is bloody as fuck, man. My goodness.
Man, I can't wait to talk about episode 4, but even episode... Oh, my God. The ending of episode... These endings, dude.
Yeah, all the endings. I'm like, God damn.
I'm not gonna lie. Who made that stupid-ass statement, Gotham makes them cringe or whatever and shit? I think it was Tommy the Tardy's ass, probably, whatever and shit, but this show makes my ass go like, oh, God. I was not expecting that. Oh.
What the fuck? Did he just do that?
Oh, God. Oh, that camera does not zoom out neither. I was like, that camera is like right up on that shit.
Right there.
Oh, my God. It's episode 3, man. It kicks off. Rabbit in the Snowstorm. It kicks off with a motherfucker getting his head smashed in with a bowling ball. I was like, wow, I never thought about killing someone that way or whatever. And as soon as I knew saw this guy, I was just like, yeah, we're going to get a badass fight scene between him and Daredevil. I could already see, I smell it in the air. You know, I smells it. But, okay, so we're picking up with Murdock and Foggy. They are taking on a, why do I want to call him Whiskers? Not Whiskers, Wesley. Wessler. God damn it, I'm fucking that name up already. Damn, is it Wesley or Wesley?
It's Wesley.
Wesley, yeah. I was like, damn, what the fuck am I fucking that name of? Which, by the way, I don't remember the actor's name, whatever. That guy is fucking great as fuck, though, man.
Yeah, he is.
Him and... I don't want to say his name yet. Don't say his name yet.
don't want to say his name. Don't do that.
You know why they don't say his name? It's because it makes him more like a man. And his brother was looking at him and was like, yeah, so shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck. we open up with Murdock and Foggy. They take on this mysterious wealthy client, if you will, whatever. This Wesley, he comes in and tells them, because I don't know if you guys remember from the last episode, it was like, you know, keep them under our radar. We can use those lawyers for, you know, opportune times, if you will, and stuff like that. So Wesley goes in there. He puts on the charm, puts on the smartassery, you know, whatever. I was going to say, that's one thing I like about him and his client, man. What I like about them is that they're charming yet scary as fuck at the same time. They don't even do a lot.
Right.
It's because...
They're really subtle with it.
Yeah. And it's one of those situations where you have the villains in here where they're so charming and yet so cold, calm, collective. It's just like, you know that, like... Okay, they didn't get to where they were at by being this damn charming. So, obviously, they've already settled in. It's just that you don't want to piss them off to the point where it gets off to where they have to break your goddamn ease, which episode 4 gets into later. So they take on a wealthy client. Murdock is like, nah, man, you a little too shady. Matter of fact, he's giving them a client, Wesley, And he ain't even gave him his name and shit. I'm just like, yeah, you can step out my door right there, sir. I mean, as soon as he said, I can't, he's like, you don't need to know a name. You just need to know that you, here's some money, go represent this client. I'd have been like, yeah, my nigga sense is tingling. I was like, I can see Cody now. Look at him. He's like, the movie spot studio talking about, man, people, you see all them zeros? And I'd be like, Cody, your nigga sense ain't tingling just a little bit, man. Just a little bit. I mean, that's a little weird, man. This dude came in here and told us to review a movie for him. He don't give us the name of the movie or his name, whatever. I was just like, I don't know, Pete.
Not right here.
Yeah. Cody's like, shit, nigga, I'm reviewing this movie, nigga, to the bank, nigga. To the bank. And then yesterday you see Cody behind the cell saying, damn, I fucked up. You know, one of the questions we always get is, how do you do a podcast, people? And I'm going to tell you this one thing, segues are always nice. So
that's how you do it for all elements of all forms of entertainment.
Yes. So anyway, which I thought was a great scene, too, because it was just adding on to the creepiness of this whole client detail. And people, we already know he's talking about Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, but it just adds that much more layer to the Kingpin of his whole mythology and shit like that, which I think is just, I was telling someone, I think it's just a perfect setup to set someone up like this, you know, make him bigger than life he is, even though he's just a regular man, you know? So Murdoch, after this dude pretty much kills these, I guess, mobsters in this bowling alley and shit, Murdoch and them, Murdoch said, you know what, fuck it, we'll take the case, you know, and basically Murdoch takes the case just so he can get closer to whoever this clientele is and stuff like that. Right. And, man, that jury room, man, that when that heartbeat shit was going off, my ass like, damn, this is like Argo all over me when that phone was ringing and shit. I was like, God damn, man, y'all, what's going on here? I was like, because that speech Matt Murdock gave, I was just like, hey, what are you doing? Are you asking for Fisk to come looking for you? He's like, yeah, my client did kill someone. I was like, what are you doing? So his client gets off free, and then that's when we finally see the first action of Daredevil in here, beat the fuck out this guy until this guy tells him about Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin. And then what do we see at the end? Wilson Fisk at a little art show hitting on some chick.
Right. And I love the way they intercut that, because it was like as innocent as could be, his introduction. But yet, yes. You see what he's capable of and what he's capable of making people do just by mentioning his fucking name.
It was, I'm not gonna lie, man, it was probably the most intimidating scene I had ever seen out of any, like, superhero villain. And you know, like, Fisk is like the Lex Luthor of Marvel, if you will, you know. That's how I feel for Lex Luthor, how he should always been in these live-action films and stuff like that. And here, what I saw with Fisk, you see him in that scene, like you said, it goes from something as brutal, building his name up, whatever, where Daredevil just goes, Fisk. Wilson Fisk or whatever, and then to just see this scene where he's just standing there looking at this empty portrait or whatever, and he just has like a great line about it, how empty it is and alone, or I was just looking at him like, wow, why am I afraid of this guy? I'm sorry. I don't know if it's because I know the mythology of him or it's just something about this scene where it just so, the way the camera just shut from that gruesome scene we just saw to this, it was just like, so mind-grabbing, whatever, just like, wow, I know what this motherfucker is capable of, and to see him so calm. It's always nice to see, like, such a calm, but that's why Lex Luthor was always so great and shit, because he's always that calm, cool, collective until he loses his shit or whatever as well, or whatever, and shit goes well. Once again, man, this is another episode of Daredevil that I'm going to go ahead and say it out there, man, because I think we already know where I'm going with this. I loved it.
I thought it was great, man. Especially that last fight sequence was badass, and the way it ended, my God.
The way it ended, people. Daredevil takes, because this guy, he threw him into the, he did a Ryu roll kick on his ass, whatever and shit, from Street Fighter, and he broke into this window, or this glass mirror, and this dude picks up the glass, and Daredevil breaks his arm and stabs it into his heart or whatever and shit, and then throws it, almost tried to throw it in the neck. He was like, Wilson Fisk is the name I know, and he was just like, oh, shit. You think this is about you, man? This ain't about you anymore. I said his name. His name. And this dude, mind you, this dude's a badass. I mean, we see him in the bowling alley or whatever. I mean, even in the, when he was telling Murdoch and Foggy, like, what to do and shit like that, he's like, all you need to know is the check is going to clear. Just do your damn jobs. Whatever. I got this. Whatever. Dude's a badass martial arts fighter and everything, whatever. And he's, even as he said, he's just like, you understand. my loved ones, my family, me, myself. He is coming for us or whatever and shit. He's not going to stop until each one of us forgets his name or whatever. And I was just like, damn, dude, what did Fist do to make motherfuckers forget his name?
Seriously.
Shit. And then he was just like, he had like this look of an undoubtfulness in his eyes, whatever and shit. And even Daredevil saw it or whatever. Even his blind ass could see it. We was just like, what the hell? And he's just like, you should have just killed me. This dude looks at the fence that Punisher Warzone threw that Rastafarian dude off. And full circles again, people. And and he just took his eye and slammed it right in. I was like, oh, shit.
I was like, what the fuck?
I said,
his fucking head on the pike, man. I was like, oh, my God.
Even Daredevil jumped. He was like, holy shit. And he had that look in his eye. He said, Fisk. And then it just goes to this nice classical music playing in the background. This motherfucker had an art gallery.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck did I just see, Cody? Oh, brilliant, man.
Brilliant, man.
It was just beautiful. Like, this is probably the most disgusting, beautiful shit I've ever watched in my life. Oh, and you know, this is like a take from episode 2. For episode 2, all we got was Daredevil, and here all we got was Matt Murdock, and man, I love that courtroom shit, dude. I'm not gonna lie.
No, that was great, especially when he was giving his speech about how he might not face justice in the courtroom, but he might face justice outside of it.
Yeah, and I love the speech where he's talking about the courtroom is not about good and evil. It's about facts. What is right, what is wrong here, or whatever, and shit. This is what happened, this is what, and I was just like, yeah, that makes so much goddamn sense. I was like, I love how this superhero comic book shit is making more sense than most of our judicial system in America's standards. I was like, that makes nothing but sense. And we find out one of the jurors, they was bribing her to win or whatever, and she had a sex tape out there. She didn't want her kids to see or whatever. I was just like, was it with, hmm? I was like, you look familiar, miss. I was like, I don't blame you for not wanting that tape out. I was like, you did some dirty shit that night. But, Karen, man. Karen is, I ain't gonna lie, man. That's part where Wesley told her, so do you hire all of your, convicted felons in here or whatever? So I was like, damn, bro. I was like, shit.
I was like, damn, you reach for low-hanging fruit, man. Shit, you gotta go there.
Damn, and I love Murdoch. How did you know about that, huh? Whatever. He's just like, look here, blind man. He was damn near two steps away from saying that shit. Just like, look here, blind man. My clientele just offered you a check. Either take the damn thing. You have 30 minutes to apply or whatever, all right? You guys have a good day, you fuckers. And he even said, Karen, you also have a nice day, you fucking felon. You. Like, shit. We can still see that this still is haunting Karen here. And she decides to take things in her own matters in a little bit, which gets more into episode 4, which I just want to say, you stupid bitch.
Yeah, because she runs into another comic book character, Mr. Ben Urich.
Yeah, Mr. Ben Urich, a.k.a. Danny Glover. a.k.a. Danny Glover mixed with Lucius Fox. And there you go. I was waiting for that motherfucker saying, well, Mr. Wayne, or no, Mr. Murdoch, three pieces a little outdated. Yes, I agree with that. I was like, damn. So I was like, are they seriously trying to make a better Dark Knight with this? Like, it's like, look here, Morgan Freeman, we found a better actor than you. He even said the line, I'm getting too old for this shit. That's what you do. No, like, what happened to you? What happened to the reporter I used to know? He got old. He got old. I was like, damn, Danny Glover, back to his full form, baby. I was like, that's what I'm talking about, baby. That's what I'm talking about, Danny. Man, what, you said it last week, though, man. The subtlety of this show is what makes it so great, dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was one of your favorite parts in here?
Oh, man. I gotta say, that ending, dude. That ending, just the contrast between, like he was saying, good and evil. It was just evil on evil. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, the dude killing himself, and you see the whole innocence, mm-hmm. the tranquilness.
Yeah.
Set the gallery, and it's just simple, man. Like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing, too, is I think why that ending was so great, too, with Wilson Fisk showing up, is that we've had almost 2.5, well, shit, damn near 3 episodes to build upon just hearing my client. Don't say his name, this and that or whatever and shit. That's always a great way to build something up in a TV show is when you know this iconic character is coming to the screen or whatever and to see him pop up like that. I think Walking Dead can learn from fucking Daredevil here of how to introduce some characters sometimes or at least build their name upon how they want to reveal it, because that ending with Wilson Fisk showing up was just fucking classic, man. I love his whole style of it, which we're gonna get into episode 4. So you know, fuck it, I'm just gonna give this a high seat. Loved it.
Yeah, right there with you, my man. High seat.
Cody, let's get into episode 4 now. I don't know what it is about watching these 2 episodes per week or whatever and shit. The first one's always seems to be like oh shit, it can't get no worse than that. Next one after it, just like goddamn, they just kicked up.
Goddamn is right, because this is an episode called In the Blood.
In the Blood, Cody. How about a synopsis then?
Sure. So we open up with the Russian mobsters, Anatoly and Vladimir, and you see a flashback of them, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're coming back to present time.
I thought we was watching Agent Carter for a second.
Yeah, seriously, I know.
I was waiting for that motherfucker to say focus.
Yeah, that's when I see Fithoff on the scene. I'm like, oh shit.
they was gonna stick their head out of their cell or whatever and see him in the other cell going like, you let me go. So it's just like, matter of fact, that would have been funny as fuck. I'm not gonna watch. And we found out that's how he escaped from the rest of the He was like, hey man, we should do what that guy did. Exactly.
So yeah, they're pressured by Fisk to eliminate the vigilante, aka Daredevil, and they come to find out earlier they visit the dude that Daredevil beat. Remember the guy's ass whooped in what was it, episode 2?
Yeah, episode 2. Yeah.
The guy, the Russian mobster who was under the cover as a cop.
The motherfucker they threw off that roof and gave him a concussion. Like I like, he's like that Batman from How It Should Have Ended or whatever. When he's like, oh, you ran over the Joker? He's like, didn't kill him. That's what Daredevil was like for this motherfucker. It's like, didn't kill him. This motherfucker sitting in a hospital. Legs are like shattered and shit. I mean, his arm was all fucked up and decrepit and shit. He was breathing through some tube and shit. I was like, god damn, dude, he's in a body cast. I was like, you see Rock? Furious 7 logic right there, man. Just saying, man. And he landed on a car, people.
Right.
Come on.
Come on now, dude. Jesus Christ. Yeah. So this is, yeah, obviously the dude was fucked up barely. He might as well have been fucking dead at this point. But anyway, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, basically they pump his ass with adrenaline. And he wakes up for, like, a few seconds. He tells them that he was connected to Claire because that's where he found Daredevil at first. Mm-hmm. So they found out the information from him, and then he eventually dies after that.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Because, matter of fact, they did set it up. They were just like, it won't just kill him if you're shot. It's just like, he's like, we don't give a fuck. You want to end up dead, whatever?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we carry off from here. We see Fisk at the art gallery again. And he tries to get the attention of Miss Vanessa Mariana.
I like that speech he gave about that white painting, too.
Yeah.
I really do. How he talked about how it makes him feel alone and emptiness inside. I was like, god damn, dude. You know what I was getting off of this Fisk too? A lot. I don't know if you remember the old Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, I do.
I can't remember what episode it was, people. But there's an episode where he talked about his father and how he was, and when he was a child growing up, and how pretty much his father left him when he first got arrested, when they both did this crime together and shit like that. And he talked about how alone he was and how he felt or whatever. Now he, ever since that time, whatever, he knew that it was either be stepped on or step on someone else and shit like that. And he was like, I made it sure that I would never be in that position of alone ever again. Where I was like, my god, man, this shit was just, it was just oozing from the old animated series and the comic books. I was like, oh god, I was like, that shit just makes it much more satisfying to me.
Mm-hmm. Right, shit, yeah. It just gets more satisfying from there, because he takes her out on a date while this is going on, and I totally, he wants to see Fisk in person. He's like, fuck a phone call, I gotta talk to Fisk right now. This Daredevil shit is getting out of hand. So his dumb ass.
Hey, man, that was the stupidest thing I ever. Even when I saw him pop, I was like, oh, you a dead man, dude. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so Fisk and Vanessa, a nice day. It's a bit awkward because Fisk, you know, he's not used to dating and whatnot.
Especially with his lifestyle.
Yeah. So they had a good time together. And then this motherfucker Anatoly.
He's winning her too. He was hitting all the right for someone on their first day. He was hitting right all the right moves, knew the right ways to get her. He asked his assistant for the wine and shit like that. He's like, look, this is a classy lady. I need to get the details point or whatever. He was hitting the right stories and shit. I was like, damn, dude, boss, pimp, everything. I was like, I would work for him. And then this stupid nigga came in.
First into the scene. But so I need to speak to you, Fisk. I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot. What the fuck have you just done?
And Fisk still played it cool, too. He just got her up. He was just like, we will be leaving right now. I was just like, holy shit. I ain't never been so scared for a character as I have when he said that shit. I was just like, yep, you are a dead motherfucker right about now, dude.
Yeah, so we cut to them going to the cars. They take off. So after this, we cut to the scene with, because obviously the Russian mobsters, they kidnap Claire. And they take her to this, taxi warehouse or something?
Yeah, they like, I guess that their operations is just the whole taxi stuff or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, so they take Claire Temple there after beating her ass, because they're trying to find out where Daredevil's at.
Oh, I love her line, too. When them lights go out, she start laughing.
That creepy ass laugh.
Yeah, she did that shit well, too. I was like, girl, I knew you could act. I knew it. Shit. She did that creepy ass laugh and said, why don't you ask him yourself? And those lights start, I was even like, oh, shit. And once again, it was like that that first scene out of Batman Begins when they were at the docks.
Yeah.
And he was just
shades of that, and the shades of when he was at the Arkham.
Like, Arkham, yeah, yeah.
Except here it was done better.
Man, that's sad too, because as great as those movies were, this our Netflix straight to Netflix TV show does it better. which is like this ain't got no money behind it either. So, how the fuck is that possible? Kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, because this is a badass sequence. Daredevil turns all the lights off, and you hear him speaking. You know where the fuck he's talking from. It's like his voice is vibrating the entire building.
Yeah, which is funny, because we just did spoil at the movies with Dredd, where he's behind that wall talking. It's like, oh, clearly we know where this motherfucker is at. But even with Daredevil, even my black ass was just like, yeah, where the fuck is he? Do not watch this at nighttime, people. I should have scared the fuck out of you. I was getting nervous. I was like, and then when he told him that line, he's like, you point that gun at her or whatever, that'll be the last thing you ever hold in that hand ever again, whatever. And this guy was like, yeah, whatever. And most times you think he'd like wait a couple of minutes or whatever. Nah, that motherfucker showed up as soon as he said that and broke his fucking arm in three pieces. I was like, God damn, shit. And Rosario Dawson knocked his ass out with a baseball bat. Well shot scene, man. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Like all the fight scenes in here, shot fucking well to the teeth, to the brim. Oh, yeah. Man. Awesome shit. So we also pick up with Karen trying to dig deeper into this whole Union ally thing.
Just let it go, girl.
She even comes across the wife of the man that was murdered in her apartment.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot his name. I want to say Fisher for something, or McKay, something McKay or some shit like that. But that was just ignorant. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because come to find out, Union ally, they try to pay her off. Like, all right, keep this quiet. We don't want any more. You'll stay alive. Just shut the fuck up.
My black ass would have been like, fuck it. How much you paying me? Huh?
Karen's like, no, fuck this. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Man, I would have got the fuck out of Hell's Kitchen.
She goes to the wife of the victim. And the wife is like, stop. I took the money. You should do the same. Karen's like, fuck.
Yeah, like, I like how Karen's kind of getting mad at her, too. It's just like, bitch, she got kids. Look at little kids. She got, she keeps going to all these people talking about, let's do this, whatever. It's like, you don't understand. They got responsibilities to take care of. Yeah. This is a dangerous-ass city. You just running around a dumb girl. What's his name? Ben said or whatever. He's just like, he's like, I thought you would have learned after what happened in your apartment.
Right.
Yeah, I would thought so, too, right?
Yeah, because she goes to that auction trying to get details on people who are in this scheme, and Ben shows up. He's like, I didn't even know you're gonna be here. I just showed up to do my job.
Yeah, cause they were auctioning off the building with Union Allied or whatever and shit, and she was straight up drawing photos of the motherfuckers. Yeah. I was just like, and then Ben told her, he's just like, notice how the woman in the white and the man in blue over there, neither one of them has bidded yet, neither. Where I was like, he got all this fucking information in the minutes he's just been here or whatever and shit. And your ass been here the whole damn time and shit. Drawing motherfuckers and shit. Looking obvious and shit. I was just like,
it's so obvious. obvious.
Looking obvious to a motherfucker too. And I love that ending line with Ben. Ben, man, he was they did him so well in this episode too, man. He was so fucking good at it too. That I love that line. He's like, "You don't know me. You don't ever show up to my office again. We don't know each other. You don't meet or nothing." I was just like, he's like, "This is not your case. Mine. Take the money. Go away." I was like, "Damn, dude, he's smart as fuck."
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Yeah. That guy playing, what's his name, Von Curtis Hall?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, he does a great job as Ben Urich, man. He
does a really great job as Danny Glover, Morgan Freeman. Really great job. Matter of fact, he did a better Morgan Freeman and Danny Glover than they did since Dark Knight, and I don't remember the last thing Danny Glover was in that was good, so. Oh, okay, damn. Shit. So, hey, you can get rid of them too now. We got a new replacement. Because he was selling that shit. Actually, he was making that story much more interesting than what it was. Because Karen was getting that point where he's just like, "Leave it alone, bitch. Just stop. You were asking for death." When, like, he even told her, he was just like, "You should be lucky you still alive, actually, at this point." He's like, "You should be thanking the three little angels floating over your head that you even made it this far." And because he named off all the names, like, because she was talking about, "You think that guy hung himself in the brand?" And he just brought up all the names, and he's like, "They're all dead. You should be happy that you even made it this far." And I'm like, "Yeah, you should be, actually."
Exactly. So now we come to the grand finale of this episode, man. So we see Wesley and Anatoly, they're driving off, and he thinks he's going to have a formal meeting with Kingpin. And he's like, and they stop at an unusual spot. He's like, "Why are we stopping here?" He's like, "Fist wants to talk to you here." All of a sudden, this is basically a fucking jump scene, man. This shit was frightening.
I love this shit. This is a horror movie. This should have been in It Follows.
Oh my
god. They're like, "Oh, shit."
Scared me more than any horror movie in the last 10 years, I swear to God.
Because I love it, because the phone rings with Wesley, and he's like, "Yeah, he's on the passenger side. Okay. He'll be meeting with you in a minute." That motherfucker, I thought that was a damn animal or something. Like, oh, shit.
Holy shit.
Grabbed his ass, and you hear this Russian dude going, no. Throws his ass and gives him. And I love it because this Russian dude, he got like three good licks in there. It didn't do a damn thing. No, I was just like, "Yep, you about to get your ass handed to him." And I love Wes. He just sitting in the car and was just like, "It didn't even have to come to this." It really didn't have to come to this. I love how cool Wesley just plays it though. He's just like, "I told this motherfucker. Like, I told him. He didn't. Like, he's just like, I've been coming to him this whole time. What makes him think that?" He's like, "Oh, I just want to talk to Fist face to face to let him know no hard feelings." He could have told me this shit. Could have told me. But no, had to make a big deal about it, huh? Okay, well, now you're getting your ass beat.
Yeah, getting his ass whooped. Like you said, he gets a few licks in, he pulls his knife out, tries to stab Fist, and you figure out Fist has like this armored suit. It's pretty crazy. Pretty badass.
Actually. Man, it was actually... Oh, shit. You always wanted that. It's like, why this motherfucker ain't wearing a vest?
Yeah.
This motherfucker's wearing a vest and shit. I was always wondering, like, why he's wearing those particular black suits in there. Seen him twice in there now. It's like, come on now. Well, there must be something about that. I know it just ain't his style. Where's the white jacket at and shit like that? You know, whatever. And then, you know, you see that vest on him. He's just like, ah, tailor-made custom protection suits. Shit. Smart man right there.
Anatoly, he pretty much has no fucking chance. Fist overpowers his ass, and then he brings him over to this fucking car door, man.
And
he slams the fuck out of his head. It's not like his head just decapitates immediately. No, he continuously mashes his head, boom, 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 into the fucking car door until it turns to mush.
I was about to say, you saw the brains drip out that
you
motherfucker?
You saw the brains, you hear all the sound effects, and it is some of the most disgusting shit I've seen probably ever.
And the camera angle is so perfect. They don't show you smashing the head. What they they put the camera under the car, and you just see the shit coming down from. You just like
the results, all the runoff and shit.
Oh man. God, I was like, that's far worse than just seeing the actual head getting. It's just like, and then like at first it's just like a little drops of blood. You see blood or whatever, and next though it just starts oozing the blood. Then you start seeing pieces of brains and skin and shit. He's like, oh God damn, oh stop it please. Just stop. And I love it because even Wesley, he's got some blood on him. He doesn't mind. He's just like, I tried to tell this motherfucker. Like, I swear to God or whatever. And Fisk, I don't know if you saw it at the end after he turned around. He started breathing. And you saw his, like, lip was shivering and shit like that. And I was more afraid of that scene right there than I was of that whole fight scene when he just started shivering. Like, he couldn't control it or something like that. Like, he just didn't know. And then to see the blood in his face, he was just, like, kind of looking at it like, Then he took the handkerchief and just wiped it off and whatever, and was like, went back to normal phase. I was like, God damn, dude, just talk about upping it up to another level or something.
His last line was like, I need a new suit.
And he was like, what should we do about this? He was like, send it back to his brother. That will start a war, sir. That's what I want. I was like, oh my God. I was like, hey, what? I want to tell Wesley, what war? Daredevil done took them all out, most of the shit. Are you going to get Russian motherfuckers over here or whatever? Did you see what Fist just did? He decapitated a motherfucker with a door. A car door.
Fucking door, man.
This episode was fucking... I love it, man, because it's almost like every time we watch these two episodes, the second episode is trying to up the antics from the first one. In the first one, we saw a bowling ball smashing a guy's head in, and this one said, oh, no, that wasn't shit, though. Imagine what a door can do to your ass now.
Jesus Christ, man, that shit had me cringing.
Yeah, it really was, man. It was cringing just to see Fist blow out in that way. To see him grab or whatever. And plus, mind you, there's like four big-ass Cadillac Escalades there, too, people. So, like... Fisk is like, you know, this is something that I... And, oh, man, his line, too. You remember his line he said when he was hitting on this dude?
I don't remember the exact line.
You fucking embarrassed me in front of her. I was like, really? I was like, this is what this is about. I said...
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, he's just like... He said, you made a mockery of me in front of her. You embarrassed me in front of her. I was like, Jesus, so this is what you do for embarrassing a motherfucker, huh? Oh, God. I would be sucking that man's dick on a daily basis and making sure I don't fuck up if I worked for him.
I'd be shutting up my motherfucking shoes, all that.
Hell yeah, man. And even if he called a meeting, I'd grab his chair and sit it for him, and I'd be like, do you need a beer or something, sir? Would you like I'm sorry, not a beer. I'm sorry, sir. I mean a nice glass of wine. Please don't beat me or whatever and shit. I'm sorry. I'd say a martini or something like that. You don't drink a beer and then lowly ass alcohol like vodka and shit like that. You need a martini or a wine, right, sir?
I don't mean to sound ass tonight, man, but this episode alone, I think it pretty much solidified. Kingpin, he's already the best MCU villain.
I don't think that's asinine at all. I'm about to say it's probably one of the best villains I saw in quite some time. I want to say probably since The Dark Knight once again. So
the performance Vincent D'Onofrio gives, man, is so fucking layered, and it's really unlike anything I've quite seen from a villain before.
He's unstable too.
Because there's a lot of repressed emotion you can see boiling under the surface. You can see it.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I forgot to take my subtitles off Netflix or whatever and stuff, but I had the subtitles on. It kept saying stuttering every time at that dinner time, whatever, like stuttering. Like, he couldn't get the words out of some of the shit he said. Even when he said his name to her and shit like that, he stuttered over. It was just like, well, he doesn't want to say that name. Like, he's ashamed of it or something like that, you know? Like, it was something else holding him back. I mean, so much character growth into this character without him even saying a damn thing, though.
Yeah, right. And it's such a large contrast from the previous Kingpin performance from that
day. Oh, God. So,
like, don't you just smile his ass off, you know, have a good look at shit. I was like, damn. Wow, you could ask for it. It's like night and fucking day.
You know, it's funny because I thought that movie was bad, but I didn't think it was on bad and everybody else was. But after watching this shit, I'm going back on it going like, yeah, you know what? That movie probably was. that movie's probably fucking terrible now. I don't think I could watch that movie after watching this series anymore, to be honest.
Not at all. Not at all, man. I can't do it. Fuck that.
Nah, it's like watching, it's like, really, do you really want to watch those old ass Batmans after watching The Dark Knight? It's like, I don't think so. It's like, come on. It's like, once you get something great, it's like, basically, do you want to watch that 1970s TV Captain America, or do you want to watch Winter Soldier?
Seriously.
Yeah, so it's like, come on, Kingpin, man, easily, I want to say, damn near one of the best characters in the damn show, I can only wait to see how he grows, man. I'm not gonna lie, going back on Ben's character, I love this character altogether, man. He's another character that had a lot of pain in here. His wife ended up in the hospital. And we kind of somewhat later find out why for of it. Because I guess he let work get the best of him and reporting all these articles about stuff he shouldn't have been. He was talking about all the deaths of his leads that gave him, which you would think Karen would get that once, too. Because she kept asking him about his leads, his great stories or whatever. And he was just like, they all end up dead. Whatever, and even his wife, who ended up in a hospital, hospitalized. And I just love how realistic that character was. Like, you know, because at the beginning it seemed like he was just a guy trying to get back into the game. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't so trying to get back into it where he was trying to force himself to do ridiculous shit. Once he got back into it when Karen got involved, it was so... One of the major words of this whole show, though, of this season, whatever, is just subtlety. The subtlety of how he got back into it and playing it so smart, too. I mean, it's very rare to fucking see that because we see so many fucking characters do some of the dumbest shit to the point where sometimes you just gotta let it give it pass now, whatever. He's just like... I guess I just gotta overlook that little detail or whatever. But with him, he plays it so smart at the end where he's just like, man, dude, this guy is just on top of his game. He knows this shit, man. He obviously knows it. So, that guy is another great character in here. Daredevil continually to be a great character in here. I mean, shit, I think he was more shocked in the show than we were, to be honest.
Seriously.
Saw that dude and cave his head into that fence. He was just like, yeah, goddamn, shit. Yeah, man. Once again, man, another fantastic episode here. God damn, man. This show is just, it's getting more violent, it's getting more gruesome, it's getting better, man.
Yeah, I can't believe it, man. Each episode keeps building up, man. Each episode's better than the next. I was like, wow.
I can't wait till Iron Fist shows up and be like, man, you're getting your ass kicked too easily, Daredevil. You know, you. It's like, you know, there's another way of doing this shit or whatever. Like, I can't wait till the Defenders have their all-together show or whatever, and Luke Cage, like, instead of Daredevil getting his ass with, Luke Cage just takes a hit for him or whatever and just go like, you ain't got to take beatings with us around no more, you know? Now, come here, girl. Bring that white ass over here. Bring that sexual white ass over here. Yeah, man, all around, man. This is another... I don't even know why we're getting ratings no more.
It's like a permanent high seed.
Yeah, it's a permanent high seed, man. It's just getting better and better, man. I mean, it's a high seed again, man. I absolutely love this show, man. These episodes, too. And matter of fact, even with the... I want to say with Foggy and the Russian accent I heard at first, whatever. I got to say, man, this third and fourth episode, I don't have any complaints at all, to be honest.
Amen, man.
I thought it was a fucking brilliant show, and I personally think it's more gruesome than a lot of shows that can claim themselves as gruesome or whatever. Man, I was like, damn, this is just up the antics of violence from Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, and a True Detective and shit. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, fuck. So yeah, man, high seed for me.
Yeah, right there with you, my friend. High seed.
Yeah, so. So, you are the man without fear. Oh, shit, you're violent. That motherfucker's so violent, he makes Bane run away. He's just like, you look like good competition for me. But you're too violent. This is like some Mortal Kombat shit right here.
Pushing me to the lights. I never thought this day would come, but now I am here.
So people, that has been a recap Daredevil episode 3 and 4. We hope you join us next week for episode 5 and 6, even though we know most of you motherfuckers is done with it. But you know what? This is definitely one of those episodes I can see myself revisiting over and over and over again, because I still stick by that statement. I can't wait for this to come out on Blu-ray so I can buy that shit, because I do want to see the behind the scenes features on this shit.
I cannot wait.
So yes, like always, I am the phenomenal one.
I'm Cody.
And we will be back next week for Daredevil episode 5 and 6. Later, bastards.
Later, you beautiful bastards, you.
Magic hammer. That would explain why you keep getting your asses handed to you.